yards. He was excellent in protection. He did everything right. And, Paul, he ran with a little bit of swag and provided some energy to this Breakers offense. This guy is what's leading this offense right now. Great job, Wes Hills.
Over 30 touches. Woo. Wes Hills hugs after being named player of the game. The Breakers lead Canton with a 2017 win. They remain unbeaten. Coming up next on NBC, it's your local news for Mike Robinson, Corey Robinson, our entire crew. I'm Paul Burmeister. So long from Canton, Ohio, where the Breakers win 20-17. That record remains perfect.
Julian, we really have seen this line that's coming through, or at least was coming through, really falling apart over the past hour or so. And so let's say if you have plans over the next couple of hours, we still have a few spotty showers on radar. Minimal coverage, though. It's not going to be a big plan-canceling event for us tonight, and certainly no severe weather tonight. Let's head up here to where we are seeing some light showers in the Roanoke Rapids area. This is mainly north and east of the triangle. And that's where I think as we go throughout the evening where we could see the best chances for some of these to push their way through. Notice Futurecast continues to show that as we head to about 9 o'clock or so, even overnight tonight into early tomorrow morning, we could see a few of these again, mainly northeast of the triangle, not for everyone. We start off tomorrow morning, a few light sprinkles, but you shouldn't need the rain gear here for most of our viewing area. There is lunchtime looking good on our Monday as well, but again into the afternoon, both Monday and Tuesday, we have that chance for some showers and storms bubbling up. It's going to be a hot forecast to start the week. High temperatures near 90 for us tomorrow afternoon. So that is going to be here for us on our Monday, but then we head into Tuesday. That's when we have that chance here for a few very isolated strong storms here. You see that where that green is showing up right there. Our entire viewing area, Julian, does have that chance for, like you said, some gusty winds. So I'll go over here the full timing this week, show you if we get any dry time here in just a few minutes as well.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Well, as we get closer to the WRL Weather Alert Day, keep an eye on the forecast in your area using the WRL mobile app. It's free to download on Google Play and the Apple App Store. It is a great app to have. Let's go to some breaking news right now in Wake County, where firefighters have been battling flames at a home southeast of Raleigh. The house is on Barnwell Road between Tomahawk Trail and Chastille Trail. Let's bring in WRL's Brett Neese. He is live on the scene right now to show us more. Brett.
And Julian, a lot of damage here to this home behind me. Take a look at just how extensive it is. So much of the roof gone after these flames tore through this house this afternoon. The fire is now out, and officials have started to roll up the hoses, and investigators will now go inside the home to figure out what exactly caused it. But here's some video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker to show you even more of this damage, as crews were putting a lot of water on this fire for over an hour after it started around 4 o'clock this afternoon. It tore through the roof, all but destroying it. And fire officials tell me that the damage inside the home also extensive. Fortunately, everyone made it out safely. It's not clear who all was home at the time. Fire officials tell me that the wind helped fuel this fire, causing it to grow and spread quickly. Now investigators will go inside and try to determine that cause, as it is now completely out at this point. And I'm going to stay on top of that part of the story, Julian, and keep you updated.
All right, Brett Neese reporting live outside Wake County, just southeast of Raleigh. Thank you. Let's go to some breaking news. Police in Allen, Texas identified the man they say shot and killed 8 people at an outlet mall as 33-year-old Marcio Garcia. A law enforcement official told media outlets that investigators are looking into whether or not Garcia had extremist views. As we've reported, the gunman was killed by a police officer who was in the area on a different call. One witness describes what he saw as he tried to help.
I went to the third person who moaned. I knew he was alive. I felt for a pulse. There was no pulse, so I did the first chest compression. He spit up blood, and then his eyes went fixed and dilated, and I knew I'd lost him.
Oh. A makeshift memorial is now growing outside the outlet mall, remembering those who were killed. Victims in the attack range in the age from 5 to 61 years old. Several remain hospitalized in the Dallas area. More breaking news. 8 hours away in South Texas, 7 people were killed when a driver plowed through a crowd outside a homeless shelter. Police in Brownsville say the man was driving recklessly when he ran over a number of people early this morning. The shelter is known for helping migrants with housing. Detectives say the suspect is a Brownsville resident and is currently in custody. A man is in serious condition after Raleigh police say he was shot early this morning. This is what else we found out. This is video from the WRAL breaking news tracker at the scene near the intersection of Six Forks Road and Wake Forest Road shortly after the shooting happened. This is the day and time, the video of that scene that had actually happened. The intersection was closed for a few hours while police investigated. Police say this appears to be an isolated incident and there's no danger to the public. New tonight, deputies in Harnett County say a man was shot while driving down the road early this morning. Deputies say it happened while 23-year-old Daniel Williams was driving down Sanderford Road in Bun Level Community. Williams is in critical condition. Detectives are looking for leads as to who is behind this and a potential motive. Raleigh police responded to a shooting at Club Insomnia on Fenton Street near Capitol Boulevard and Atlantic Avenue. The WRAL breaking news tracker was on the scene shortly after 3 this morning. Witnesses say at the club, they tell us a man showed up waving a gun and shot a security guard outside. Raleigh police confirmed when they arrived there was a man with serious gunshot wounds. Police arrested a man in connection with a shooting that killed another man in Fayetteville overnight. 54-year-old Elmer Spears of Fayetteville faces a first-degree murder charge in the death of 27-year-old Narish Timmons of South Carolina. Spears is in jail without bond. Police say Timmons went to a location on Palmino Drive to buy drugs around 1:30 in the morning. There was some type of argument, and investigators say that's when Spears shot Timmons, who died at the scene. We're also working to learn more about this scene right here, a deadly shooting near the town of Roseboro in Sampson County. Investigators confirmed that 2 people were shot while a large gathering on Budspell Lane took place. One of those victims has died. Cumberland County Sheriff's deputies and state troopers were also on the scene. It is not clear at this time what brought these people together or what led up to the shooting. Fayetteville police say a man died this morning in an apparent hit and run this morning. It happened on Bunce Road near Dusty Edge Trail. Around 8:15 this morning, police found a man dead in the field. Police identified him as 61-year-old Elijah Hare of Fayetteville. Investigators say a driver in a dark-colored SUV or a larger dark-colored vehicle struck him and he went off the road and drove off. The investigation is ongoing. A number of AT&T internet customers in Durham and also Chapel Hill have been without service for days, and it could be several days more before it comes back on. Some viewers tell us they have been without internet service since Wednesday. One customer said when they reached out to AT&T, they were told the issue would be resolved in about 24 hours. WRL reached out to AT&T. The company told us an outage may stem from a fiber optic problem in the area, and repair time could take 3 to 7 business days or more, depending on how many customers are affected. All right, a local man is trying to rescue his wife and daughter from fighting in Sudan. This comes after civil war has broke out in the country. And I talked with the man as he tries to get his family to the Triangle.
This is my refugee camp. I would like to give you a tour around the refugee camp.
This is footage of Omar Abdul Rahman in his homeland of Sudan. He left his country back in 2005 during civil war that displaced 2.8 million civilians as the death toll rose to over 300,000. Omar later arrived in Raleigh as a refugee. He built a life here in the Triangle, and in 2019, he would go on to become a U.S. citizen.
I love U.S. and especially Raleigh. I will never take anything for granted, like never.
He hit another milestone in 2019. He found and married his wife in Sudan. They now have a toddler. And since 2022, Omar has filed all the necessary paperwork to get his wife and daughter to the Triangle. But fierce fighting across Sudan has returned as 2 rival generals are fighting for control. 400 people have died and more than 1,000 people are hurt. And all of this is going on while Omar's wife and daughter are just 8 miles away from the fighting.
It's really difficult. Like, it's always in my mind. I try to say not to think about it, but it's really hard to not to think about it.
What has complicated their arrival here to the U.S. is that due to the deadly fighting, Americans are being evacuated from Sudan. The embassy there has also stopped processing interviews for those seeking to come to the U.S., and that includes Omar's family.
There's nothing from my side I can do more than just wait.
Now, Omar says he is currently looking for ways to expedite getting his wife and daughter here to the U.S., but he believes he may have exhausted options. However, he is not giving up. All right, let's go to some breaking news. The Hurricanes just lost the third game of the second round in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Canes won the first two games at home, you may recall, but they were no match for New Jersey on their home turf. Final score, Canes 4, Devils 8. Pat Welter will have highlights coming up in sports in just a few minutes. A fight over the best way to serve people with disabilities in North Carolina has spilled over into the state legislature. A bill moving there would require Disability Rights North Carolina to file reports with the General Assembly. But the bill isn't just about reports. Lawmakers say they're trying to drag the watchdog group to the negotiating table over a series of lawsuits and a push to help more people with disabilities live at home. The effort could cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars. This is a long-running debate across the country and a long-running fight in North Carolina. Our state government team broke it down in depth this week, and you can read that online today at WRAL.com. Still to come at 6, new changes are about to take effect for teenage drivers. What you need to know before taking your child to get their driver's license in North Carolina. Ah, what a beautiful shot over Beaufort right now. You have to take a picture and frame that shot. Welcome back. New changes for teenagers waiting to get their license right here in North Carolina. Starting tomorrow, a new law goes into effect that permanently reduces how long teens would have their learner's permit. The time period drops from 1 year to 9 months. COVID forced a temporary change in the law, shortening the period to just 6 months. That provision lapsed at the end of 2022, leaving thousands of teen drivers and their families in limbo. The Great Lakes fire burning in eastern North Carolina is 70% contained. So far, the fire officials say 32,400 acres have been scorched. WRAL has been following this fire since it began weeks ago. Over 200 people are working to put it out in the Croatan National Forest near New Bern. Anthony, those showers just keep lingering around. We think they're gone, and then they're like, wait a minute, we're still here, my friend.
Yeah, it's just this pattern that we're going to be in here, Julian, for both tonight and as we head into tomorrow, and then Tuesday, very warm, and we get those afternoon showers and storms bubbling up. We lose the daytime heating, and then they go away. Tonight, though, we certainly were expecting a bit bigger extent here to some of these showers that are getting going out there in some parts of North Carolina. What has happened here is this system, this line itself that pushed really all the way from the central Great Plains. It went through Ohio. It went through Virginia. It lost a lot of its steam, ran into some drier air, and it's really not connected to a bigger upper level system. And so the atmosphere just kind of leveled itself out, and we're not really seeing much coverage here this evening. So if you were hoping for some drier time, it's looking better here over the next couple of hours. We still do have a few light showers for our far northeastern counties, just around the Roanoke Rapids area to your east at this point. Very light sprinkles. I-95 is looking fairly dry unless you head up toward Virginia. And for the most part here, the rest of our viewing area looks good to go. Futurecast continues, though, to show here as we go throughout tonight into early tomorrow morning. The chance for a few more of these to get going. There is 9 o'clock this evening. Based on what we're seeing right now, I think Futurecast might be a little bit overdone with that coverage, but mainly northeast of the triangle looks like where we're going to have that potential for a few light showers still continuing. Tomorrow morning, there's 4 a.m. I don't think a majority of us will need the rain gear headed out to work and just any plans you have going on tomorrow morning, but there are still, again, a few light sprinkles by that point. We get another chance of some storms into our Monday afternoon and again into Tuesday afternoon as well. It is due to this heat that we are going to see. We're going to be at 88 degrees on Monday, 86 on Tuesday. We get a front coming through, and then into Wednesday, it will cool us off into where we should be for this time. If you're even a little bit below that 77, which is our normal for this time of year. Let's talk about Futurecast here, both for Monday and Tuesday. I'm going to leave it here on the wider view to kind of gets you a good idea of what's going on. We will start the days off fairly dry. We head to lunchtime tomorrow. We're looking good. It'll be a mix of sun and clouds. We get the heat, and those showers and storms will bubble up as a result. Not expecting severe weather for us tomorrow, but notice they're fairly isolated in coverage, just kind of depending on where they set up. We get that round. We head into our Tuesday as well. Tuesday, there is a potential for some of these to be on the stronger side, mainly with some gusty winds. Looks like our primary threat. But again, there's 8 o'clock Tuesday morning. We start off dry. We get that afternoon heat. We see the theme here, right? Well, then we get the storms bubbling through, and then they start to push their way out by Tuesday evening. And then Wednesday does look dry at this point. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday looking good here if you have any plans this week. We do have that level one risk here for most of our viewing area on Tuesday. Again, gusty winds look like the primary threat. Maybe some small hail, but it does not look like a big primary concern here for us on Tuesday. That is, though, why we have that weather alert day, so just make sure to stay weather aware here as we head into Tuesday. We're at 88 degrees for us tomorrow. Keep the water handy, 86 on Tuesday. It will have a little bit of humidity. It won't be oppressive for this time of year, which is good. And then, Julian, a nice long stretch there before, you guessed it, Saturday night into Sunday. We may get a few more showers into another weekend.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. Pat Welter is here. And Pat, I think many didn't think that this would be a sweep in favor of the Canes.
And we definitely should have known after watching the Devils versus the Rangers. You cannot count out this team. They are too talented. This game today was absolute chaos. What went wrong for the Canes? Coming up next. If you were making Stanley Cup final plans, might need to slow your roll. We knew the Devil's skill would show itself eventually. Apparently, all they needed was some home ice. Former Kane Eric Halla reading off the lineup in the Devil's locker room. Seth Jarvis getting fired up on the visitor's side. Let's go to the first period. Timo Meier making his series debut. He took a monster hit Game 7 versus New York. And there's his first playoff goal. He was their big trade deadline acquisition, 40-goal scorer. Now, Jack Hughes, pointless in the series, but can't give him this time, kind of time and space. Passes up a good shot for a great one. And take another look. Stephen Nason just can't quite deflect it away. Superstar stuff. Canes on the power play now, and it's Michael McLeod going 1-on-5 shorthanded. Devils surpassed their series goal total in the first period. It's 3-0 New Jersey. And yeah, nothing really changed after the first intermission either. Traffic in front and Nico Hischier with his first goal of the series. All the big names getting in the highlight now. Freddie Anderson pulled for Pyotr Kochetkov with Antti Raanta still sick. Now Sebastian Aho did finally get Carolina on the board here, but things just kind of just got weird after that. All disciplined out the window in the third period. Stephen Nason and Eric Halla end up dropping the gloves. One of several fights in the game. We got a hockey series. Devils win 8-4. Casey Hintz is in the locker room as we speak, gathering post-game interviews. She'll join us tonight at 11, and we'll also have coverage of Game 4. We will have extended Canes coverage on Sports Extra. We'll have her post-game report from the locker room, as well as analysis from the Prudential Center in Newark. That's tonight, 10:30 on Fox 50. My 3-year-old son wanted me to wear a jersey with him yesterday to the park, so I threw on my new Road Bulls jersey for the first time. Wife said, hey, that looks pretty good. I said, you know what? I know, Bulls in the Road Grays taking on Norfolk, trying to get back on track, losers of 4 of their last 5. Jonathan Randa knows how good he looks. 2 RBI double to right center, and the run is going to come all the way around from first. Nice hustle. 2-1 Bulls, but we need extras to decide this one. Go to the bottom of the 10th now, and it's Taryn Vavra. It's a walk-off, folks. Tides continue to blaze through the International League. They win again 5-4. Number 10 Duke trying to keep the party going versus Longwood. What is that, Night at the Roxbury? They're down 9-4 to start the inning. Not anymore. Luke Storm bringing all the weather. Grand slam, part of an 8-run inning. Duke wins 13-9. To UNC Asheville, Campbell taking on the Bulldogs on senior day. It's a 5-1 game in the third. And Drake Pearson gets back 2 more right here. Now, when I was a kid, I knew no Drakes. Show Degrassi comes out. They are everywhere. Music might have, you know, helped a little bit too. Pearson with 2 homers in the game. 9th inning now. Grant Nipp says, started from the bottom, now we hear. Campbell sweeps Asheville 11-7. And if it's Panthers content you want, check out Panthers Huddle tonight at 11 on Fox 50. They're talking Bryce Young, Frank Reich, and everything you need to know heading into rookie minicamp. And Julian, I'll tell you what, the Canes players and coaches told me, home ice doesn't matter, the matchups don't matter. Clearly, it did.
Yeah, it does. You know, they put in so much effort and so much work to get to this point. But hey, it's going to be a long playoff series. We've been saying that all year long, right?
Yeah, the Devils were favored in this game. They were favored in this series. They're the team with the stars, the elite talent. The Canes are the team with the system, doing the little things. I have a feeling after watching this today, we could see going to seven.
You think this will go to seven?
I think I would bet on it. You know, I think the Devils have a good chance in the next game, and then we're going to come back here to Raleigh, and it's going to be a war.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate you. Thanks for joining us tonight. Next on NBC Nightly News, hear from two eyewitnesses of the Texas Outlet Mall shooting. That's coming up next.